sweet Alberta. I called her this week and left a message, and I said, I know you're in your bikini poolside somewhere, and that's why you're not answering the phone. Little did I know she's moving, which can be trying and stressful. So my prayers, our prayers are with her during this time. Take it one day at a time. Sometimes 1 hour at a time is better, but we're thinking of you, Alberta. Let us begin with prayer. Father God, thank you for the gift of your word. Open our eyes to behold wonderful truths in it. Quiet our hearts from daily distraction and grant us this wisdom to understand and apply your teachings. We ask in your precious name, amen. I'm going to begin with Psalm 119. Psalm 119, starting at verse 105. 119, starting at verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. I'm sharing a quote about Matthew Henry. He is the great 18th century Bible commentator. He was introduced to Psalm 119 as a child. His father, Philip Henry, told his children to take one verse of Psalm 119 every morning to meditate on it, and thereby go through the entire psalm twice in a year. Philip said to his children, "That will bring you to be in love with all the rest of scriptures." Perhaps this practice was why Matthew Henry loved the Bible so much that he wrote commentary that is used still today. This psalm glorifies God and his word. God's word is mentioned over and over and over throughout the psalm. A person's receptivity to God's message determines his or her spiritual impact and power. The author's path, his steps, were made with the guidance of God's word. God's word is a lamp to our feet. There are many ways to walk, right? Walking, we can stroll, we can hike, we can tromp, we can march, we can mosey, we can lollygag. These are all ways of walking. We can wander. But how are Christians to walk? Listen for the key word in Ephesians 4:1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the call you have received. Worthy. Isaiah 57:2. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. Uprightly. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. We walk in the light. Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Humbly. When we read the word and learn from the word, our conscience learns to walk worthily, uprightly, in the light, and humbly. And we are able to take the next few steps according to his word. They may be little mini steps, but they're still steps in the light. The psalmist is determined to dedicate his life to be obedient to God. After falling away and failing his commitment, the author looked to God for revival. He is always there for us. Even though his life would be rough and the wicked would attack, the author would not stray from God's word. Spiritual dangers are just as dangerous as physical dangers. The psalmist found joy in God's word, and he is encouraging us to trust God's word. Theologian John Clark wrote, "If a man can leave nothing to his child but a Bible, in that he bequeaths him the greatest treasure in the universe." Don't feel that you need to leave anything to your children except give him your Bible or her your Bible. It's the greatest treasure. We are encouraged to be known by our relationships with God, not by all the stuff we have. Call out for the lamp to his feet and the light to his path. God's light sustains us in every step. When the synagogue no longer welcomed Jesus, and when he was pushed out of towns, he took his message to a pulpit, which was usually on a boat. It must have been such a cool thing happening back then. Some of them were fearful, some of them were just inquisitive, but it must have been so cool receiving the good news by the waters. He taught by the lakes, along roadside, in the homes of those who wanted to listen. Sometimes the homes were so full, people were standing outside the windows to listen to him. The people gained a better understanding what was being shared when Jesus shared a lesson along with a parable, and a parable is a relatable story. The stories could be remembered so much easier than if they had to take it home and study. The main points of a parable are brought to the forefront of the story with the lesson that was clearly shared. The passages shared today are about trusting God's word. His word is for direction, for our daily direction. His word helps us to maintain a steadfast commitment to him in all his ways. Matthew 13, verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed." Yes, I'm going to share the parable of the sower, wherein the seed represents God's word, and the soil represents the human heart. Jesus used this parable to explain why some people show the results of a balanced spiritual life while others do not. At this time, the farmers would have scattered seeds out and about and then plowed the ground. While they were scattering seeds, they would fall onto paths and rocky grounds and thorn bushes and sometimes good soil. It was the same seed that was landing in all those areas. As I read the parable found in Matthew 13, as I read this to you, I want you to think, because this is what I was thinking, what does my root system look like? And I want you to be thinking, how would you describe your root system of your spiritual life right now? Verse 4, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but then the sun came, and the plants were scorched, and they were withered because they had no root system. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The sower probably noticed the seeds were falling on the pathway. By the wayside, the ground was hard. Many times it was a path that people would be walking on. And when we walk through this life, there are times when we become distracted and lose the message shared by the Lord. The seed cannot grow. Some seed would fall on a stony and rocky place where their roots were unable to take root. No matter how warm and how watered the seed got, it was unable to take hold and grow. This describes when a person's faith withers under trials. As soon as it gets tough, they try to handle it on their own rather than turning to God. Other seed would land in such fertile ground that it would begin to grow, but the thorns of the weeds would choke it out. Faith can be choked out when one's heart becomes crowded with worldly anxiety. A productive crop will grow in good ground, the ground that has good soil, fertile soil, and weed-free soil. A person with a receptive heart will bear abundant fruit. The condition of the soil, the condition of the human heart, differs from person to person. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. This was a call to those who were spiritually sensitive. Their hearts were ready to receive God's word. I'm returning back to Matthew 13, verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown among the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble and persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Is your root system growing? Is it shallow? Is it really dry? Is it strong and deep? Or is it getting tangled in the weeds? The seed in the shallow wayside will be devoured by wicked ones very quickly. They never had a chance to grow. It's as if God's words were never really understood. A burst of growth in one's faith without continued learning of the word will only lead to the seed quickly withering away. This is the seed found upon the stone. Faith must have a depth of understanding. When I was working at Camp Meadowland, we were told again and again, make sure to tell the campers they need to keep going, they need to keep learning. This week of excitement and love and glory and receiving Christ all week long is something that needs to be continued. And that's for us as well, as adults. Soil filled with thorns may be too fertile, and the thorns choke out the seed. And spiritual growth is stalled by unspiritual things. And those unspiritual things are so in our face right now in today's world. And the cares of the world will block the word of the Lord. The seed that falls on good ground will respond and bear good crop. And this soil represents those who receive the word in different proportions, and then they will bear fruit. Sometimes we see bits of ourselves in all four of the soil types, depending upon what's going on in our lives. Sometimes we become busy and we forget to make room for how powerful the word is for each of us. Sometimes we're very enthusiastic and joyful about our faith, but that quickly burns out when we go home and get into the same routines. There are times when worldly ways threaten to choke out our fruitfulness. When we are in good soil, the words of the Lord bear the fruit of our lives. Are we prepared to sit in various soils and know how to stay close to God? The seed never changes from the sower. It is the soil that is different. It is our hearts that are different. This parable calls for action so that we will receive the word of God to its fullest benefit. How can we prepare our hearts and minds to be of the right kind of soil? Are you hearing and making God's word a priority in your life? All the time? Most of the time? Some of the time? Or, oh no, please don't ask me that. Are some of the thorns you're dealing with coming from friends or family members? Perhaps you need to improve the soil by plowing it up and starting over. Are you lacking commitment or discipline? Surround yourselves with the rich topsoil of a spiritual community. Are you suffering, and so it has become difficult to believe that God is good? Create a refreshing devotional life. Be committed to getting into the Word. If you worry about material things and the future, uproot those thorns of worry and the desires of the world. Let's take a moment to recognize what in our lives nurtures our spiritual growth. I will share my list, but feel free to say something from your list. Share your life-nurturing blessing or blessings. So going to church is nurturing. Spending time with Christian friends and relatives. Personal devotions are life-giving. A Bible study is life-giving. Christian music nurtures me. Praying consistently. Participating in church activities. I am nurtured when I have the opportunity to share my faith with others. Can you think of anything else that may be nurturing to you? Giving to others, caring for others, having meals with others. Just mentioning his name, Jesus. I pray for your increased productivity. I pray for yours and mine. May God bless you all. Let us pray. Dear Lord, may your word be a lamp to our feet and a guide to our lives. Allow us to praise and give thanks, repent where we lack faith, and ask you to work in our lives and the lives of others. In your precious name, amen.